Welcome to day 300 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host. I'm glad you've joined me again today. And we have only 65 days left in this year-long journey through the Word of God. Congratulations on reaching day 300. Today we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke. We will cover chapters 14 and 15 in the New American Standard Bible. So beginning at Luke 14, we will start at verse 1. It happened that when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely. And there in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they kept silent. And he took hold of him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which one of you will have a son or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on a Sabbath day?" And they could make no reply to this. And he began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this man,' and then in disgrace you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste of my dinner.' Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Chapter 15. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And he said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. When he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. and he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you kill the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." This is the end of today's scripture reading. One of my favorite parables in the Gospels is this one we have just heard, which has often been called the parable of the prodigal son. But my husband likes to call this not the prodigal son parable, but the parable of the God who runs. Here we have a story that Jesus told about this man with two sons. And in this parable, the father in the story is representative of our Heavenly Father God. And this parable gives us such a fantastic revelation about the heart of God toward all His children. In this particular story, one of the sons asked that he be given his inheritance before the father died, as would have been the time traditionally when the estate would have been divided. But this son wanted his money now, and so the father graciously divided the inheritance and gave it to both of the sons. This younger son decided he wanted to try living the high life and took the money, and he went on a very long journey into a distant country. And the scripture tells us there he squandered his estate with loose living. So you can imagine him drinking and partying, and as the brother implied, maybe hanging out with prostitutes. We don't know because we're not given that information. We just know that the story says he squandered the money his father had given him with loose living. So we know he didn't honor his father's inheritance. He didn't wisely utilize what his father had built up for him, but instead undoubtedly disappointed the father by his choice to take the money and leave the area. And it was, I'm sure, a very crushing blow to the heart of this very good father. But the story gives us a lot of revelation, not only about God, but also about the attitude that's displayed through the elder brother. But let's look at God's attitude in this story, since he is represented as the father. The son goes out, wastes the living that he was given, and instead of being angry, though surely disappointed, rather than being bitter and cut him off and disinherit him as a son, the father continued to watch for his return. And that is clearly shown to us because when the son finally came to his senses and decided to return and repent before his father and just ask for a job as one of his hired men, because he was prepared to humble himself and say, "I'm not worthy to be your son anymore," but he didn't get the whole story out before the father blessed him. But what was happening while the son was on the way back? It says in verse 20 here in Luke 15, "While he was still a long way off, his father saw him." So his father was watching for this son to return. He didn't force him to return. He didn't force him to stay. He had the freedom to leave. The father doesn't stop him. Yet, he no doubt prayed for him. He no doubt longed for him. And he was watching for him so that when he was still a long way off, but on the way back to his father's house, his father saw him. And then it says that he felt compassion for him. And then my husband's favorite part of the story, he ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. The God that runs. Do you know that God's heart towards people who have sinned against him isn't rejection, isn't anger, isn't bitterness, isn't I'm just going to turn my back on this person and leave them in their own misery because they brought it on themselves? That is not the heart of the Father that we see displayed in this parable that Jesus told. Instead, we see a father who longs for his son, though he has sinned, who waits for his son to return, ready to forgive him. And this is the heart of God for mankind. You know, there's many people in the world today who feel like they can't go back. They can't return to God. They can't ask God to forgive them. They feel that they have fallen so far down and fallen so short of God's standards that, like the prodigal son here felt, he was no longer worthy to be called a son. These people feel like they're not worthy to be God's child anymore, and most assuredly a holy God would not accept them back after all the sins they've committed. And yet this parable shows the truth and the very opposite of those types of impressions or thoughts or assumptions that people often make about God. The Father was watching for him. The Father's watching for you. The Father was ready to receive him back and totally forgive. And we see here that he felt compassion for him. He knew he was broken. He knew he had sinned. He knew that he had gotten himself into deep trouble. And yet the Father felt compassion for him. He didn't feel anger toward him. He didn't feel disgust or rejection. He felt compassion for him. Because God knows the pain that sin brings into a person's life. He knows the sorrow that goes with it. He knows the isolation and the loneliness that people will often feel when they've fallen deeply into different types of bondage or sin. It keeps them very isolated and lonely. And the Father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Do you know that God longs to run to you? Do you know that God longs to embrace you and kiss you? And this son said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And before he could even ask for the job of his hired help, the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet." And these three things are very important and symbolic in this parable. The sandals, I like to start with that first because when a person in that culture was working as a slave, he would not wear any shoes. And the lack of shoes actually indicated his position in the cultural community, that he was a slave. He had no shoes. He walked around shoeless. He walked barefoot. And that was what a slave did. And it indicated that that was their status in the community. But here, the father immediately is going to remove the stigma of slavery that was on the son. He had fallen into sin so deep that he became a slave. In the New Testament, we find the teaching that says whoever sins becomes a slave of sin. So the father in the story removes that stigma by giving him shoes for his feet. And then we see that he gave him a ring for his finger. And this was symbolic of restoring him to his position of authority in the family. It placed him back as a son and an heir to that estate. And then lastly, we see him putting on the best robe over this son who had been serving in a pigsty. And that robe represented his honor and dignity being restored to him. Though he had been covered with shame, the father now placed honor and dignity upon him and covered his uncleanness. Imagine, he had been a slave that was feeding pigs, so imagine the smell and how his clothes must have looked. And here he was covered with the best robe in the house. So it shows us this idea of how God covers our uncleanness, covers our unworthiness, covers our dishonor, covers our shame, and restores honor to us through his love and his forgiveness. This is, to me, one of the most priceless of all the parables Jesus told, because it really displays the Father's heart. And this is something that it's important to understand on every level, and it's important to be able to understand the symbolism so that when someone speaks to you about they're not forgivable or they can't go back to God, you can take this parable and show, here's God's attitude toward you. Here's a son who went away, squandered his father's money, did every bad thing, wasted the living he was given, didn't honor his father, and yet the father waited, the father saw, the father had compassion, and the father ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. And not only did he do that, he restored him back into the family. He took away his shame. He covered him with honor, and he took away every sign or symbol of the slavery that he had gotten himself into. God does this with individual lives that come and repent before him and tell the Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I know it. I'm not worthy to be called your child. And yet the Father's response is so full of mercy, so full of grace, or as the scripture here tells us, he was filled with compassion for this son who had fallen into sin. That's God's attitude toward people. He doesn't hate, he doesn't resent, he doesn't reject. He always longs to restore. That is God's heart. He longs to restore. He longs to forgive. He longs to show mercy and to show grace. He's looking for the son or daughter who will just turn back and will come back to the Father's house and repent and give themselves back into the Father's hand and into his care. That's God's heart for you. No matter where you're at, or if you know someone who's fallen so far from the Lord, then you can encourage them with this word from the parable of the prodigal son, which shows the true heart of our Father in heaven. God bless you and give you a victorious week.